Hello, this is Elder Brandon Hartfield. We're thankful to have this opportunity to come and be on the radio broadcast again this week. We certainly desire the prayers of those of you that know the Lord. And by the Lord's help, we certainly pray that we could be used of God to be a blessing. Before we get started with the message today, we do want to look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Fathers, we come to you this day. Lord, we're just so thankful for the many wonderful things that you've done for us. Father, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful for your salvation through Christ. And Father, we pray that we'd live in such a way that we could bring glory and honor to your name. Not for ourselves, Father, but that you could be seen within us. Father, we pray for the lost that you would deal with them in mercy. Help them to see their need of Jesus before it be everlasting too late. And help us that are saved to see our need to serve you. Not just on Sundays or when we're at church, but Father, every day of our lives. And in everything that we do. For we ask all this in the name of Jesus, for he is worthy. Amen. As we come today, we're in the book of Ephesians chapter 4. We left off about not giving place to the devil last week. How we're to be angry and not sin. How we're to put away the old man, put off of him and his lusts and his desires, and put on the new man in Christ. Our goal as Christians is to be conformed to the image of Christ and not to be conformed to the image of this world. Not to be led of sin and selfishness and lust and things of that nature. Not be concerned about people seeing me, but rather we want Christ to be seen in our lives. We want to die unto self. We want to take up our cross and follow the Lord. And we want Christ to be seen within us. That's our goal. We want the mind of Christ. We want the spirit of Christ in everything that we do. And I'll say this. That entails a lot of things. We won't be able to cover in just one message. We try to cover it in many messages. But I'll remind you that Jesus knew the time to overthrow the money changers' tables. He knew the time to call people vipers and hypocrites. And he knew how to hold a child in his arms and say, y'all need to come unto me like this little child. He knows how to be loving. He knows how to be caring. He knows how to rebuke. He knows how to be long-suffering and merciful. He knows how to chasten. He knows all those things. And all those qualities are qualities that we need to have as God's people. And know how to use them at the appropriate time. And that comes with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of the things of the Word of God. That's why we continue to study it. And we pray it could be a blessing in studying it today. We're going to pick up, as we said, in Ephesians 4, verse 28. And again, this is putting off of the old man and putting on of the new. He says in verse 28, let him that stole steal no more. Let's deal with some facts. Churches are made up of sinners. They are. There's some people in church that used to steal. There are. There's people in church that used to be fornicators, used to be whoremongers, adulterers, alcoholics, drug addicts. I mean, all kinds of things. I've met all kinds of people in churches over the years. And who God has changed. I've met men that like to brawl and fight and, you know, men that had filthy tongues and spoke all kinds of evil things and filthy jokes and dirty words and all these other things. People that go to church, and there's some of them. But notice what God says here. Those of you that stole, he said, now that you're saved, now that you're a new creature in Christ Jesus, steal no more. The former things are put away. They're put off, and you've put on the new man. The new man doesn't steal. He doesn't look for an excuse to steal. He doesn't find reasons to be violent. And I'll say this, there is a time for self-defense. There is a time to protect those that are weaker. There is scripture for using, you know, violence at an appropriate time. There's a time for war. There's a time for peace. Well, I'll tell you what, it takes some pretty rare circumstances to have to use violence. And it's never for selfish reasons. It's for godly reasons. It's for defense of others. It's for defense of our family. And sometimes when we're being attacked, you know, somebody's trying to rob us, steal from us, or just cause us hurt, we have a right to self-defense. There's scriptures for that. Turning the other cheek is for a personal offense. Suffering for the cause of Christ, we're to willingly take that. And so rightly dividing the scriptures and putting those things in their proper place. We need to understand that, but we don't go out looking for a brawl. We don't go out looking for a fight. We don't go out looking for a battle. We do it with all of our power to avoid it if possible. As much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. That's what a Christian does. And even here, if we've stolen, if we've taken advantage of people before, or we just wanted to be lazy, and do nothing and live off the labor of others, God says, stop it. It's not who you are now. He says, but rather let him labor. Labor. Working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Notice what God teaches us. Work and labor. And even when we do that, and even when we make money, it's not just to make us rich, but it's even to have things that we can give unto those that are in need. And I love reading that scripture. And I'll say this, growing up, and I do this with my kids also, you know, it was enjoyable coming to church and Dad would sometimes give me the offering and let me go up and put it in the offering plate. And the reason I say go up is where we go to church, and the way we do things, we have an offering plate for the pastor and for the church and for the mission work and for the treasury. And some churches have that for even other things and even charitable giving for different reasons. Sometimes there's a person in need in the community and you have a special offering for that. And so we each individually choose where our offering goes, is praying and seeking the Lord. And it works out really good that way. And always, especially when people pray about it and they seek God on how to give and what to give to, it's very beneficial in a lot of ways because you know exactly what you're supporting, which is a good thing. Know those that labor among you. You know, these are good things. Even with mission work, I encourage churches where I've pastored. I said, if you're supporting a missionary, you better be giving him an opportunity to preach. Well, some of them are on foreign lands. They can't come here. You still talk to them. You still communicate with them in different ways. You need to know what they're preaching. You need to know what you're supporting. I think many people support missions and they don't even know what they're supporting. And that's not good. It's not biblical. But to get back on track with what God's led us to talk about, you know, it was enjoyable as a child to, you know, get the offering, go put it in the offering plate for mom or dad. But I tell you what, it meant a lot more when I started to make money. And the reason is because it might have felt good to go up and act as a child that I was giving money. But when you're actually giving unto the Lord, you know that you're contributing. When you've purposed in your heart what to give unto the Lord, and you know what it's going to, and you know what it's supporting, you know that you're contributing, and you think about what you're really contributing is a portion of your labor. And your work and your sweat. And I tell you what, it means something. It means something when you find somebody that's in need, maybe of food or maybe of clothes, and God gives you an opportunity to be used of Him to be a blessing to somebody else. That's kind of nice. And again, you don't do these things for personal gain. We know what the scripture says. If you're trying to give publicly so that others will see your giving, then you have your reward. But if you're giving because you want to give back to the God who's given to you and you want to show His kindness to others, oh, that's a different story, isn't it? And it means something. It means something when you know a check that you've received and you've got, and you know that you've received from working and laboring to support your family, to support your children, your wife, your, you know, all those things. And when you purpose willingly to take out of what God has blessed you with, and you say, God, we're going to purpose this unto you as you have taught us, and it's from a willing heart, that means something. And the Christians who submit to that and submit to giving unto those who are in need, whether it's a missionary, whether it's somebody that's hungry, whether it's for the church building, or whether it's, you know, for the pastor who's sharing the gospel. It just means something when you're able to give. And God says, I don't want you stealing. And somebody will say, well, I could have made more money stealing. I could have made more money panhandling. I could have made more money doing all these other things. But when you've earned it in a good, godly way, the old saying, an honest living, honest work, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're making $12,000 a year and you're only able to, you know, if you're going by giving a tenth, that's what you've purposed unto the Lord. I'm just using that as an example. And you're able to give $100. That might not seem like a lot to a lot of people, but you purpose that to the Lord's work and even divide it up, and you got a little bit going to pastor and a little bit going to church and a little bit going here to mission work. And you might say, man, it seems like so little. But I tell you what, to God it's not little. If that's what you can give and that's what you've purposed in your heart to give out of what you've been blessed with. And then as God prospers you, that's also taught in the scripture, isn't it? As God prospers you, so let Him give. I tell you, it's kind of enjoyable that you grow. And there's a time in life, and I've told people this before, that there's a time I know early on and mine and my wife's life, when we were purposing unto the Lord, she was going to college and we were newlyweds and we didn't have much. And I know those first couple of years, you know, some years you may have been making 20-something thousand dollars or something very, very small. But still, that's not small considering the things of the world. We felt very blessed in that. But there were times, a missionary would come in and you would hear about their mission work and you wish you could give more. And you just couldn't because you had the house note and the car note and you've had this medical bill and you got all these things going on, and even what you've purposed unto the Lord, you've already given out, and then you got this opportunity to give above and beyond what you've already purposed, and you just didn't have much. And there were times it was a struggle to give five extra dollars or 20 extra dollars, and that stuff might seem like nothing to some people. It might. But I've told people, I said, there's probably times that I got more of a blessing from giving that $5 because I was giving percentage-wise and giving in a way that God got honor and glory with. And sometimes when you get to prosper in life, if you're not careful, you don't give as much. You don't sacrifice as much. What was $5 extra should be $100 now, and yet you're struggling to let go of it. But you can spend $200 on a new outfit, or you can spend $100 on a pair of shoes, or $500 on a new gun, or all these other things. And you're like, oh, I can't give anymore. But we can give to ourselves pretty easy. Remember the widow's mite? And how the Lord honored it. And the reason He blesses, He said, these others give out of abundance. But she gave what was needful. God sees what we give. And I try to encourage people. Sometimes they're like, we don't have a whole lot. And I said, well, you purpose and you give unto the Lord because it's good for you. It just is. And it might seem small sometimes. But I tell you, God sees the heart of it. God sees the heart of it. And I tell you, you never judge somebody based on their income or based on how much they're putting in an offering plate. You judge people by their spirituality. And when you get a person spiritual, the giving comes natural. Because God told us not to steal. He taught us to work willingly with our hands. And when we work willingly with our hands, whether it's making a small amount or whether it's making a great amount, when we're giving out of our heart unto the Lord, it means something. And as God's prosperous, even more so we should give. I'm not going to tell everybody my whole belief on some things or get into any personal details. I want to try to stay away from that because it's not about us. It's about the Word of God. But I do believe this. I believe as you get to a place in life that you don't have a car note anymore and you work hard to pay off your house note. If you do things the right way and you live within your means and you budget, and these are all godly principles, and I actually encourage people to follow Dave Ramsey on a lot of those things. I encourage that because what he's teaching is good, and you'll notice that a lot of what he talks about is you get to a place where you can give like nobody else. You know, it's kind of fun when you do something secretively for somebody else. It's enjoyable, isn't it? Whether it's leaving a nice tip for a waiter or waitress, whether it's helping somebody that's having a hard time in life, maybe their house burnt down, maybe they're dealing with something, and you've got the ability to help them through for a little time till they get back on their feet. And you do it where nobody else sees it, nobody else knows about it. You're doing it simply because God has blessed you, and then you want to help somebody else. Whether it's buying a meal for somebody, whether it's a missionary that comes by and you can do one of those little handshakes and say, I don't want anybody else to know about it. And it goes above and beyond what you ever thought you'd be capable of doing. It means something, doesn't it? Because you know that you following God and you working hard all those years and you laboring with your own hands and you being responsible and not selfish with what God has blessed you with gives you the ability to help somebody else. Man, that's a blessing. And I tell you what, for somebody that's ever been a thief or lived in a wrong way, maybe they sold drugs, maybe they did something that was ungodly, maybe they did some type of Ponzi scheme and cheated people or something, and now they're living honestly and they're helping others out, maybe even repaying people that they cheated at one point in time and doing things right. And I tell you what, they might have less as far as possessions, but they have more spiritually. And when they give, they know they gave out of what was honestly gained. And it means something. It just does. God teaches us worth. God teaches us the value of hard work and the value of providing for our families and the value of giving. And I tell you, it means a whole lot when you can give to him that needeth. He said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Oh, that's a powerful verse. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Now that would go with gossiping. It would go with cursing. It would go with dirty jokes or things of that nature. It would go to telling lies. We're not to let corrupt communication proceed out of our mouth. When we speak, we want to speak things that can be a help to somebody else. Now, there's time in speaking unto other people. You know, there was a time when Jesus had to tell Peter, "Get thou behind me, Satan." He had to tell the Pharisees and the scribes, "Ye vipers and hypocrites." But it was so that they would repent. And that was his goal. There's time when some rebuke is needed, but it needs to be with the grace and the truth of the Word of God. It needs to be for the purpose of how I can edify somebody. It's easy to just complain. It's easy to just grumble. It's easy just to find fault in somebody else. It's another thing to try to encourage them to do right. And that needs to be the goal of the words that proceed out of our mouth. It needs to be that is godly. It needs to be that's holy. And it needs to be used for edifying. Patting somebody on the back when they've done something wrong isn't edifying. "Oh, but that seemed nicer." It's not. The wounds of a friend can be very valuable, can't they? But the flattering lips of an enemy are not good. We need to be careful with how we use our tongues. We need to be careful with what we allow to come out of them. Cursing is not a characteristic of God's people. Hatred, malice, is not a characteristic of God's people. Envy, covetousness, not a character of God's people. We need to avoid corrupt and filthy communication. We need to avoid it. Because that's not what God's called us to be. That's not what He's taught us to be. Because when we allow sin, whether it's theft, whether it's lying, whether it's adultery, fornication, greed, whatever it is, these things, when we sin, it grieves the Holy Spirit of God. And we're commanded in verse 30, as God's people, as God's children, He said, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." God has saved us. It's His salvation, and He has sealed us to where we're eternally saved through Christ. But it grieves God when His children are living worldly. It grieves the Holy Spirit of God that dwells within us after we're saved when we're following the lust of our flesh and we're doing things that are counterproductive to the cause of Christ. And you think of what God has done for you in giving His only begotten Son. You think about what Christ has done for you by shedding His blood and taking all that punishment for our peace. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon Him. And He suffered and He bled and He died for us. And you think about that Holy Spirit that by it we're sealed unto the day of redemption that dwells within us. When we sin, even the smallest of sin grieves the Holy Spirit of God. And it shouldn't be once named amongst us as become a saints. We're to put off the old man and his deeds, and we're to be renewed in our mind in the things of God, and we're to follow in the life that Christ has taught us so that we can let His light shine through us in this sinful world. And when we allow sin to dwell within us as God's people, we are hindering the gospel of Christ. We are a stumbling block to our brothers and sisters in Christ and to a lost and dying world. And we should desire never to be that, but rather to let God's light shine through us. That's why He said, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. He said, these things need to be put away from you. They don't need to be in your life. If bitterness is in your heart as a Christian, you need to repent and get some things right in your mind with God and in your heart. If you're seeking how you can take wrath and take your anger out on somebody, your heart's not right with God. You need to get it fixed. Clamor, evil speaking is just about you every day. He said, let this be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another. Tender-hearted. Oh, there are way too many of God's people that have hardened their hearts against the Word of God, against the lost, and even against their brothers and sisters in Christ. It's one thing to stand against sin. It's one thing to speak the truth in love. It is another thing to let hatred and bitterness reign in you. We're to be kind one to another. Tender-hearted. Forgiving one another. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Preacher, you don't know what they've done to me. No, but I know what God's done for you. And I know you've done far worse to God than anyone's ever done to you. You have no idea what they've done to you. If you can't see that you've done far worse to God, you're not seeing spiritually, you're seeing carnally. If you can't see your sinful condition, if you can't say like the Apostle Paul, talking about sinners, of whom I am chief. If that's not the way you see yourself, then you're not seeing it spiritually, and you're not seeing the truth. And God doesn't teach us just to let people run over us. I understand that. Again, I understand we have a right to defend ourselves. But how we stand for the truth is as important as the truth that we stand for. There is a spiritual and a godly way to stand for the truth. Go look at Paul's life. Go look at Jesus' life. Are there times to stand up and tell somebody they're being a hypocrite? Absolutely. Do we have a right to have malice toward that person in our heart? No. Rightly dividing the word of truth is very important. Putting things in their proper place is very important, especially when it comes to how we love and treat our brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to remember sometimes how much God has forgiven us for. And I tell you what, if you really examine that, it'll humble you in a way that nothing else ever can. And when you see how much God has forgiven you for, you'll see how easy it should become for us to forgive others, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us. Dear friend, I pray this could be a blessing and encouragement to us today. If you have anything upon your heart, our number is 601-606-4681. You can write us, Brandon Hartfield, 8 Smith Drive, Hattiesburg, Mississippi, 39401. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll take this message, use it to your honor and glory for the good accomplished through it. Let us step aside and give you the praise. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.